wanted to draw your breath and attention to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 22, and the last clause with verse 23. First epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 22, the last three words, and verse 23. All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. From time to time, I take a walk in a very lovely park where there are lakes and streams, and across one part of those streams are stepping stones. I often look at them because this is the way the Lord, I hope I may say it, leads me from time to time into His Word, like stepping stones from one part of the Word to another. Now, last night at a prayer meeting at home, my mind was directed to words that we have already read this evening. Three words. I have enough. Three words, twice spoken. Different men, twin brothers. Esau said, I have enough. Jacob said, I have enough. I start there. What a solemn distinction, an everlasting difference between those two men. Certainly, Jacob, by deceit, received the blessing. It was God's purpose to bless Jacob. We know that God overruled it. Esau received a blessing, and that was of the fruit of the ground, and his land would be fruitful, he would be strong, and so forth, without any mention of God. Jacob had received the blessing, and we observe through the history of those twins the vital difference between the two of them, and that right through the ages of the Old Testament. The descendants of Esau were those that lived in Edom, a very fertile land, strongly fortified, very rich, very prosperous. An enmity to the Israelites would not let Israel pass through on their journey through the wilderness, and so forth. But What is the difference in those words? Esau's enough can find itself to earthly blessings, earthly riches, without God. Jacob, indeed he had his troubles, indeed he was a sinner, but loved of God. And we observe, when Jacob is speaking, Esau said, "Who are these?" pointing to the children of Jacob. And Jacob said, "These are those whom God had given him." When Jacob pressed his present on Esau, Esau said, "I have enough." That enough then entirely earthly blessing. And when Jacob said, "I have enough," it is because God hath dealt graciously with me. So we see there a very solemn distinction, and that goes right through the Word of God, right through time, right to the very day of judgment, when Almighty God will separate forever and ever the sheep from the goats. I was saying to his own dear children, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To the others, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And do remember, it's prepared, it's a most solemn word. We speak of heaven as a prepared place for a prepared people. But "depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire," prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, beloved, how unutterably solemn, how stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear, is Jesus' blood thy only plea, is he thy great forerunner there? O beloved hearer, and I do speak in love to your souls, how is it with you? Are you in this world? Yes, you are. All of us are in this world. But is it with you that you are without God, without hope, without Christ? Oh, but wait a minute, we must be careful. You may say, "Yes, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I go to chapel. Oh, yes, I'm a strict Baptist." My friend, that in itself is not a proof that you are a child of God. Ye must be born again, a work of grace begun in thine heart. Is it well with thy soul? Oh, beloved hearer, do seek that you might examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. You see, as I've just said, the distinction between Esau and Jacob, they said the same three words, but the vital difference between the two, one without God, the other the God of Jacob. And again, as I look at that, we see it right through the scriptures. The preaching of the cross is unto them which perish, it is foolishness. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. We view again Calvary. We behold the cross of Christ. We look too at the two malefactors crucified with him. And we see that scripture fulfilled. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. How solemn that a man, hearing even what his friend had said, even what the Lord had said, and yet there was no turn, no change, no conviction of sin, no coming to Christ, proving to us the vital essential of the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts that great work of his grace. What a mercy to be brought to a knowledge of our sin and acknowledge that how that by our sin we deserve the everlasting wrath of God, and yet to turn in our sin to plead the mercy of God, Lord, remember me. Oh, this man receiveth sinners, and my friend, we prove it, we know it. He does not cast them out, however so vile, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome at the throne of grace. The Savior's blood to plead is a wonderful gospel. I must continue this line just for a moment, if I may. And I do not want to preach legally. I want to preach the truth. I want to preach the separation between these two paths. Yes, that broad way that leads to destruction and multitudes follow it. And in that path I see religious people, so-called, destitute of the grace of God. Oh, the solemnity of it, not only those out-and-out worldlings, as we may say, but those that are deceiving themselves. But, my friend, there's the narrow path, and that way gets narrower. But, oh, I say, a blessed soul entering that path, taught of the Spirit, convinced of sin, and like the dear Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, brought to seek and to cry for mercy, to be delivered from the wrath to come. Oh, whither shall I go? Oh, directed to the cross, to the dear Saviour of sinners, and there at the foot of the cross to lose the burden of his sin. Again I go to the teaching of Jesus, and I hear the solemn teaching of Jesus, and I just have named many so-called religious people on the path to hell, those destitute of a real beginning, a right beginning, a new birth beginning, because the Lord speaks of those 10 virgins, 5 wise, but there were 5 foolish. The profession of religion, they looked like the wise, they were with the wise, they had a vessel, and my friend, they were all waiting, and yet it was not till the bridegroom came, and the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," that, oh, awful, 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 come to die, no hope, gone. I read an account, it's a rather strange account, but it has often stayed with me. It's ever so many years ago, a simple-minded man from the country went to the sea for the first time and got into the sea and got into difficulties, couldn't swim. Well, he was saved, brought out. But he said this, in his quaint, ignorant way, "What a strange place that is. There was nothing to hold on to." I've never forgotten that. Come to death, and all you hold on to, and I know God has saved me, but I say, to come to death, and all you hold on to is your sin. That's there. Oh, friend, I say, do not trifle with your sin. But you say, minister, you can't give us Christ. I can't. For my solemn accountability before God is to preach Christ, warning every man that one might be clear of the blood of all who hear. And so we could go on, the rock and the sand. Oh, what a lovely house that house was on the built on the sand. Many profess a great religion, outward show, but my friend, unless we're on the rock, all will fail, all will give away, because if nothing but that on the rock will stand the storm of God's testing and trial. Oh, then, my friend, how sweet the language, rock of ages, cleft for me. Ah, what a word, what a sweet testimony, cleft for me. Room for me in the rock, on the rock, and there, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double pure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Brethren and sisters in Christ, oh, what can we render unto the Lord for all his mercy toward us, sinners saved and called by divine grace? And my dear friend, Christ made so precious, and oh, that we, yes, and as we grow older, are weaned from the world, count all things but dung, that we may win Christ and be found in him, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. All things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. All things, yes, all that you need in life's journey, God's providential supply, and that which he has decreed in his eternal purposes, and in his unerring wisdom, in the love of his heart, even your physical health and strength, and the Lord has supplied and will that need. What about those who are invalid for life? My dear friend, if they are God's dear children, they will prove all things are yours. They will prove in a special way that grace can, it will be an awful struggle. Doubtless at times that they may complain and feel to murmur, and yet would be submissive unto the will and hand of God, and prove a special grace in their special need. I'm sure of it, because I use that as just one illustration. God's dear children are called at times to walk in the path of trial. All things are yours, even that path of trial, even that time of testing, even those temptations of the devil, even those reproaches of the world, even that valley of the shadow of death. My friend, is ordered by God. It's yours, your path, but you've got a God that won't fail you in it. Now, I'm not singing a song to a heavy heart. I know you may be long in that valley. At times you may feel very much alone. But my friend, your God will never fail you. You fear, that the devil said, you can't be a Christian. Look, you're on your own. You're in the dark. You don't know where you are. And so forth. I won't do the devil's work in saying these things. But my friend, he will bear you. I have visited in my pastorate for the first 30 years at least. There was some one or more in the mental hospital just outside Croydon, and there were godly people there, and they felt all had gone. But you know, I proved and found that underneath there was a secret hope. There was something in them that could not quite give up. I don't know if I ever told you this, it just come to my mind, but one of the most wonderful cases of the power of God's word that I have proved in my own life, in the case of another. And that was a dear man who was tender in the fear of God, but his mind was deranged. And I went to visit him on two or three occasions. On this particular visit, he was restless. He couldn't sit still, couldn't stand still, couldn't... And he wasn't violent, no question of that. But I couldn't convey with him, couldn't converse with him, couldn't reach him, couldn't pray with him. And I felt, Lord, I've wasted my time. Oh, I felt so distressed in my mind, so helpless. But I think just inwardly praying to God to have mercy and help. And I said, Joe, I can't stop any longer. I must go home now. And all I can say is these words are put into my lips. Joe, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I left. I did not know if he heard them. He did. And they delivered him and brought him out of all that dark path. And though after time he died, they were graven on his gravestone. My friend, there is a case. Some may go through deep waters, all things he goes, but your God won't fail you. Your God won't forsake you. Your God won't forget you. He knows just what his need was for us. And it's through much, it's through it, through it, through it. You're not going to be overwhelmed in it. You're not going to be lost in it. You're going to come out of it. It may be a long trial. It may be a furnace heated 7 times hotter than it's going to be heated. But my friend, God is there. God will bring you through. God will help you. God will sustain you. Because all things are yours, and ye are Christ. And ye are precious, but am, do I belong to Jesus? Did Jesus die for me? Well, my friend, is there the heart's desire of your soul to know this for your dear self? Some of you here know it, proved it, walked it out and say, yes, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. He's the altogether lovely one. He's altogether lovely. Him that my soul seeks, of whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Oh, this precious Christ to your soul. I say, I seem to have just lost the line of my thought, but let's carry on to dear Christian. Oh, my dear friend, all things are you. This precious Christ, yes, ye are Christ. How do I know? I know that in the eternal purpose of God, his people are chosen in Christ, given by the Father to the Son of his love, and their names are in the Lamb's book of life. And these are they that will be found in glory at last. Then some will say, it's no good my praying. Well, if I'm to be saved, I shall be saved. If I'm not to be saved, well, I shall be lost. My friend, if you were in some danger, would you just say, well, if I stand still, I might be all right. If I run, I might. My friend, if you value your soul, you will seek to try and pray. And I pray that the Lord will help you to pray. And remember this, I said this afternoon, if I have to repeat it again, bear patiently with me. I'm preaching a sermon that I never prepared. My friend, I cannot tell you what I've been through. I was going to take that text in the Genesis, but it's been taken from me. I didn't know what to do. But I say, the Lord help me. But I say, all things are yours, and ye are Christ. And Christ is God. So, beloved, pray, because the Lord in life, in his compassion, does not, as it were, it is a secret book in one way, and it is an open book in another way. As I said, because the Lord reveals in his word those whose names are in that book, he tells you about them. They are they that fear the Lord, both small and great. And remember, the smaller first, and you'll find them in the Psalms. You'll find those that fear God in Malachi, of course, in other places. But you'll also find those that fear God, both small and great, in the book of the Revelation. Yes, before the throne, those that fear God, both small, the little ones are not left out there. There, they're in glory, because all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. So let's come right back again now. Let's pray that the Lord will give me the Spirit to speak to some poor struggling soul, a bruised reed, a smoking flesh, ready to give up, feeling, oh, I can't be me, I'm too fun, I'm too flat, and the devil tells me that. Oh, my friend, I say, is there some longing in your poor heart? Is there some secret cry for mercy? Is there a venturing home? Is there a turn in your heart? Is Christ the one thing needful? No, you can't possess it as yet. You can't say anything positive except you're a sinner, a wretched, lost, vile sinner. You don't make excuse now for your sin. I'm filthy, I'm black, I deserve the wrath of God. But my friend, you seek Christ, you venture to him, you, yes, you're longing for him, then, my friend, he's on the path. The Lord will lead you. All things are yours. He's a path, as I've said that this afternoon, that one, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That one's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You wouldn't deny that. I've loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, that's God's word. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. My friend, the very drawings of his grace and mercy towards you, the vile sinner, is the evidence that he's a purpose of love to you, that you are his. You are eternally his. Therefore, as his, then as Christ died on the cross, he died for all whose names are in that book. And go to the 17th chapter of John, read the prayer of the dear Saviour, as he was coming so close to the cross, and I just named this, it was so sweet a communion, last communion, when Jesus, you know, closed the prayer, he entered into a garden with his disciples. Think what it was. But he said, Father, I will that these whom thou hast given me, those in his book, will be with him, that they may behold my glory. A little earlier in that self-same prayer, let me turn to it, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Ye are Christ. Therefore, beloved, that dear Saviour on that cross knew all for whom he died. Take the illustration I read it to my dear sister this midday today. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you're one of those lambs in the fold and you say, oh, I do, perfect. Do you know what it is to bleat? You may say, what does that mean? You feel you can't pray. It's just a few bleating words. My friend, take courage. I remember in my business days on the Surrey-Sussex border, I was just checking on a call, and I stopped by the field, and there was a lamb that had just been born. Now, I'm now, that's where my dear friend knows all about them. But that little lamb, I don't think I was mistaken. I just heard the faintest bleating. And that little lamb could hardly stand. It could. And the mother was watching over it. Oh, my friends, aren't these lessons you learned? They're sweet to my soul. I know it's wandering a bit from my subject. But what I saw there, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. So shall you be comforted in Jerusalem. Have you ever thought there's nothing like a mother's love? Don't mistake, Father. I'm not leaving him out. Father's care, protection, and love in a special way. But there's something distinct about a mother's love. You see it in the animal world, and certainly should see it in families. I know, I won't enlarge, but I just remember once when I was about 28, I was working away from home. I'd been very ill the night before, struggled at work, and got home. I wasn't married then, and I was doing perhaps about 25, and I was walking up the road, and there was Mother, standing watching for me to come. And you know, when I saw her, I just broke down. It was Mother. You may say that's sentimental. My friend, it was real. I know that, because I don't give way to tears very easily. It's a mother's love. Ye are Christ. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak your comfort to Jerusalem. Say to her, the warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned. She shall receive double of the Lord's hand for all her sins. Oh, my friend, ye are Christ. He gave himself for you. He died on that cross. He poured out his soul unto death. He bore the punishment instead. The sword, instead of smiting thee, poor sinner, has smitten the Savior. A cup that you should have drunk of the everlasting wrath of God, he drunk right up. And to you, my dear friend, this precious Christ loved you, gave himself for you, died for you. Oh, you dear children, perhaps you do not follow me fully. You may wonder what we're talking about. I do pray that the Lord will lead you to Jesus. You're not too young to come to Jesus. Not too young to know about your sin. Not too young to pray. Now, let me tell you this. I was at a Sunday school on Sunday at Black Boys, and they sung, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee." I said, yes, I used to say that as a little boy. But there came a time when I was very young, I knew I was a sinner. God was holy. God was punishing. I knew I was lost. And I believed there and then, though the conviction in comparison with some was a gentle one, it was real, it led me to pray. And we used to sing this verse in our day school. It was in Ancient and Modern. Years ago, it was cut out in Mr. John Gosden wrote it in an article in Friendly Companion, mourning such a cutting out of it. Then, oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood, and take my sins away. Oh, may it be your prayer. May you be helped to come. Jesus received children. Jesus the shepherd takes the lambs and carries them in his bosom. Gently leads those that are with her. Oh, this is the Christ. Ye are Christ. And therefore his, then the fullness that you've been singing about in that opening hymn is yours. It's poured out. You say, but I feel so lacking, my friend. It's all and poured out for the sovereign purpose of God, just as it needful for you. And sometimes I feel this, the Lord will give his people just enough. Now that's not meaning that the Lord is unkind or mean. I don't like that word. I can't think of a better word. But it means he knows that it's needful for you to prove the blessing of the gift he's going to give you, that you've got to wait for it. You've got to prove it. It's not going to be just given to you. You just ask when it's given to you. You've got to wait. You've got to keep praying to view the value of it, the preciousness of it, and the personal gift of it. Ye are Christ. All things are yours. So, beloved, in him, yes, in him, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now that's very wonderful. Made sweet to me a year or so ago. If I'm in him, and then I believe, yes, that is true, in him, therefore I'm in him as a sinner. Not that Christ is a sinner, although my sin in me, I in him, therefore my sin was charged to him. He took my sin, and he suffered on that cross the justice of God in those hours of darkness, the sword of the dear father to smite the shepherd, so that payment God cannot twice demand, first at thy bleeding shortest hand, and then again at mine. My friend, isn't he precious to your soul? Ah, don't you love him? Even love him in the anticipation of, in the sweet hope that he'll be. I go back to my seeking place. I think of my old chapel at Tunbridge Wells. I think of this chapel, the old chapel and this one. How there were seeking days of my soul. How there was something here and there just to raise up a little hope, just to encourage me and make me hungry and thirsty and reaching for after these blessings. All things are yours. So here is the procession of precious faith. Because a born-again sinner is a sinner with spiritual life. That sinner with spiritual life is blessed with spiritual light. And that spiritual life and light is inseparable from faith. It's the gift of God. And that faith is an indestructible grace. It, though there are degrees of it, great and small, little and small, little and great, yet little faith will carry you to heaven, but pray for great faith. Don't hug doubts. Pray to be preserved from presumption, yes. Doubts are sin. My friend, may God give us faith to clear away those doubts, and even later in life, doubts will come. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O thou of little faith? But you might say, in one place, you say, how is it that you have no faith? You say that looks as if they had any faith at all. God, no. It means no faith in exercise. It was there because that little faith led them to awaken the Lord Jesus to come and save them when the water was coming into the boat. Ye are Christ. And this faith is that. It's a grace that is an active grace. It's that which feeds on the broken body and shed blood of Christ, the finished work of Christ. It has business to do at Calvary. It flies to Calvary. When sin condemns you, when Satan roars, where the law points out all your sins and the broken law, you point to Christ, you flee to Christ, flee to Calvary, and there to find that comfort and consolation in the dear Saviour. And then again, ye are Christ, and as we have here, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Again, oh, think of a good hope. You see, the wicked, all the false, the hypocrite, they've got a hope. I went down, my God, a big spider's bed, a touch. I go by the sea, I see these big boats or small boats, I see an anchor. That anchor will hold that, but I know even anchors can break away, they can generally speaking hop. The spider's web has no power whatsoever. It's beautifully done, marvelous, wonderful. But my friend, your hope, if it's outside Christ, it'll be gone in a moment. But a good hope through grace, though you may have the storm, the tempest, the waves, and everything against it, tossed to the tempest and not comforted, yet that anchor will hold firm. Which anchor we have, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, which enters within the fire. It enters into heaven, to where the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, the slain Lamb, the risen Lamb, the precious blood that's there at the throne, before the throne, to where I, a poor vile sinner, am received before God. It's a good hope through grace. Oh, my friend, all things are yours, and ye are Christ. And Christ, then again, another scripture comes to mind. Your life is hid with Christ in God. devil can't destroy that. He'll attack it. Underneath, everything comes against it. But my friend, the secret here, your life, that life in Christ is a life, though we come to literal death, but oh death, where is thy sting? And I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, my friend, what a real religion it is. Oh, what possession. I go back to that word, I have enough possession. To possess Christ, possess the work of grace, possess spiritual life, possess precious faith, a good hope through grace, exceeding great and precious promises, the fullness that is in Christ. You need it. It's not going to be easy, even with that. But you're going to be carried, because underneath are those everlasting arms. You won't sink through them. Oh, my friend, the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying, if thee fear not, I will help thee. And so here it is, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Oh, my friend, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all concerned in the salvation of his dear people. But though all things are yours, and what about the end that has come to a close? Heaven is, yes, death is ours, is appointed, but is falling asleep in Jesus. And there the grave is ours. But that glorious resurrection morning, when the Lord in all his glory, the dear Redeemer, the bridegroom is coming for that bride, and change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body, and there gather his bride, his church, his flock, every stone of that building in the heavenly Jerusalem, gathered into glory. The redeemed. Oh, my friend, what a possession. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And I love it, receive it, because it received me on this earth. By the grace of God I've come to him, lo, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Oh, love of God, I come. This is the path, beloved. This is the way as I know it. And my friend, this is the prospect, to be with Christ forever and ever, and we shall see him as he is, we shall be like him, and we shall have a body fashioned to bear the weight of glory, and there on the face of this earth, as we've been passing the pilgrim journey, yet I say, we look back, and though with mercy and with judgment my web of time he wove, and in the dews of sorrow and lust with his power, I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when thrown in highest glory in Emmanuel. And then you'll say, yes, if such the sweetness of the stream, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? And I just take you, and I must have a word, an unusual place to go to, the prophecy of Obadiah, just that one chapter. And when the Israelites were fleeing for their life, Jerusalem was being destroyed, and the Edomites were holding them up, delivering them over to the enemy. But yes, but the Lord said, yes, there's coming a day, there'll be a return, and the Israel shall possess their possessions. Yes, dear child of God, your possession is heaven, is Christ, forever and ever. So, my friend, may grace begin to us to hold on, to look up, to trust in God, to run with patience the Christ said before us, looking unto Jesus. So all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God.
The collections today are for the Gaspy Memorial Christmas Fund. After the benediction, we will sing the doxology. We'll now sing hymn 934. The tune is Jerusalem 162. Hymn 934. Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me, when shall my labors have an end in joy and peace and thee?